Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast. You are about to hear a kingdom living message from Reverend Kofi Asa of Dominion Embassy, a ministry committed to unveiling our Lord Jesus Christ and his kingdom system. Reverend Kofi Asa is also a pastor at the Prevailing Word Chapel. Please sit back and enjoy this anointed and insightful message.
Hallelujah. And look at Acts chapter 10 and then verse 9. The next day, as they went on their journey and drew near the city, so we are talking about capacity building, Peter went up on the housetop, please underline the housetop, to pray about the sixth hour. Then he became very hungry and wanted to eat. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven open, underline heaven opened, and an object like a great sheet bound at the four corners descended to him and let down to the earth. In it were all kinds of four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air. And a voice came to him saying, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." Then Peter said, "Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything common or unclean." Then a voice spoke to him again the second time, "What God has cleansed, you must not call common." This was done three times, and the object was taken up into heaven. Hallelujah. So I want us to see in this passage what the kingdom system of Jesus is about. The kingdom system of Jesus is about building capacity to take on the new things that God wants to introduce into your life. What new thing God wants to introduce into his church? What new things God wants to introduce into our society and the earth as a whole? And God used the leader of his people, who was Apostle Peter, to illustrate the fact that we are going to be able to build capacity just as Peter did. We are going to be able to build capacity to take on the new dimension of life, you know, that God has got for us. In every aspect of our lives, there is a new dimension, because God is a dimensionalist, you know, there are levels in him, that is what I mean. So at every time, God wants us to build capacity for the new thing that he has got for us. And he uses Peter to illustrate this. Look at verse 9. The Bible says that this was in the city of Joppa. Joppa is present day Tel Aviv. It was a port city. Okay. Now, in the sixth hour, which is 12 noon, Peter goes to the housetop in Joppa to pray. You know, the housetop is talking about a certain kind of prayer that Peter offered. He offered kingdom prayers. He was not just on the ground floor of everybody living an ordinary life with everybody. Peter elevated himself and he climbed to an upper room. He went to a top floor. Hallelujah. So he elevated himself from the earth and he was praying kingdom prayers. It is kingdom prayers, ladies and gentlemen, that will open up the heaven for us. Hallelujah. You know, kingdom prayers are prayers that exalts or emphasizes the person, the principles, and the performance of our Lord Jesus Christ for us. This is the kind of prayer that Peter was praying. Hallelujah. And the Bible says that as he was praying, look at verse 11, he saw the kingdom of heaven opened. So he is in an elevated place. He is praying kingdom prayers. And then the kingdom of heaven opens to Peter. And what did he see? What did the head of the church of Jesus in the first century, the early disciples, the head, what did he see? The Bible says that he saw a great sheet tied at the four corners, and the thing was coming down from heaven and descending to the earth. I believe that God was in this signifying to Peter that he wants the things that are in heaven to be the reality on the earth. Hallelujah. Because this thing originates from heaven, and he is bringing down it down to the earth. And so he is telling the head of the church that I want you to look at what is in heaven. Heaven is open to you. Look at what is in heaven and bring it down on the earth. In other words, look at what God wants to do, what the heavenly kingdom is about at the moment that Peter was praying those kingdom prayers. And then Peter ensured that those things are also realized on earth. Verse 12, in the sheet were all kinds, please underline all kinds, of four-footed animals of the earth. In other words, those things that came from heaven belonged actually to the earth. They should be established on the earth. Hallelujah. So all kinds of animals, all kinds of wild beasts, all kinds of creeping things, and all kinds of birds of the air. What picture does that give you? It gives you a picture of Genesis 1:26, where God said, let us make man in our image, and let him have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. So what is God doing? God is taking the leadership of the church in the first century to Genesis 1:26. And he wants him to build capacity to be able to fulfill Genesis 1:26. He wants him to be able to do what? Fulfill his purpose, God's purpose for humanity, and especially for us, his believers. He wants the head of the church to see this new thing that God wants established in the earth and in the church of the Lord. So they were the creeping things, the things that were mutating, you know, new levels, things that are moving. Creeping means that they are moving, but they move in a subliminal way. You know, they creep. So he's talking about having control or dominion or management over creeping things, over all kinds of birds of the air, over the virtual systems of the air, the cyber world, the technology world. He wants the church to have dominion. Hallelujah. Over the beast. It's talking about these cattle. In Genesis 1:26, he said, over the cattle. That is what the Bible is referring to, the beasts, you know, over the cows, over the bulls, and then all kinds of four-footed animals of the earth. And what does God tell the leader of the church? He tells him, rise, Peter, kill and eat. What does that mean? It means that God wants us to be able to control these elements. Control, take charge of them. Because killing something is the highest level of controlling that thing. Killing something. So he says that, look, I want you to control all of these elements. Manage them. Control them. He says that kill and eat. They are bread for us. Two of the spies said they are bread for us. What is in the promised land? All those wild things, beautiful things, furnished things, you know, already made things, they are bread for us. We can consume it. We can take charge of it. Eating is one of the highest forms of controlling something. Well, you can eat it, munch it. It means that you have conquered it. Hallelujah. When you can kill it, it means that it's under you. So he says to Peter, rise up, kill and eat. He's telling us that we should do what? We should go back to Genesis 1:26 and fulfill our dominion mandate, fulfill our management mandate on the face of this earth. Hallelujah. This was at a time, I hope you know, that it was at a time that the early church were full of miracles. They were full of the supernatural, just like in the wilderness. They could sense the presence of God, pillar of fire, pillar of cloud, falling under the power. I mean, whatever thing that you deem as supernatural, it was happening. But God said, Peter, this is not your stop. I didn't bring you from the world system. I didn't take you out of Egypt so that I camp you in the wilderness. No, the intention, he brought us out of Egypt to take us into the kingdom system, to take us into the promised land. Not to just loiter around the wilderness and enjoying the fact that there is miraculous health we have. There was no feeble person among them. You know, it is wonderful in our church now, I'm talking about the church of the Lord, to have all these wonderful provisions of health and miracles and all that. But that is not our purpose. That is not our purpose. Our purpose goes beyond God's presence and God's supernatural. We must experience it somewhere else, in the promised land, in the things that God wants us to have control over. So he says that Peter, rise up, kill and eat. But look at Peter's response. But Peter said, not so, Lord. Can you imagine that? Not so, Lord. It's as if God is wrong and Peter is right. Sometimes we behave like that. Sometimes we behave like we know more than God. Sometimes we behave as if God doesn't know really how to do things. That if God does some things in a certain way, it will not be good for him. But he doesn't know. So we have to help God. So Peter says, "And not so, Lord, for no unclean thing has ever entered my mouth." The Bible says that it happened 3 times. In other words, God will bring this thing down and say to Peter, remember Genesis 1:26, have dominion over these things, kill them and eat them. Peter, I want you to eat them. And Peter says, not so, Lord, not so. That's not how to do it. It says, God, nothing unclean has entered my mouth. Thank God for Jesus. Because in Jesus, where the people of Israel failed, where the elders and the leaders of Israel failed, we will get it right. Present the leaders of God's church, including myself. I have always been a leader from the age of 12. I have led every time I go anywhere. So I'm not speaking about leadership as if I am not part of it. I am only telling you something that I have seen and something that I have heard, which God is calling upon his church that we should rise up, kill and eat. Please understand Peter a little bit, you know. Sometimes when the church and the leadership of the church, they hesitate a little, you know, they are slow a little in building capacity to be able to contain a different thing God is doing. We need to understand somehow. Like I told you, this thing happened 3 times. What if Peter didn't respond? Not so, Lord. What if Peter responded, okay, God, I am going to manage, take control over all these wild animals. I'm going, all kinds of birds of the air. I'm going to take charge over it. Do you think this thing would happen 3 times? No. It would have happened just once. But Peter is not ready for it. Peter has not built capacity for the new thing that God wants to do. So what happens? That the thing is taken up to heaven. And God waits another time. And then he brings it down again. He says, Peter, I need you to eat this. And Peter says again, not so, Lord. And because of that, God takes it to heaven. He brings it at another time again. Peter, rise up. I need you to build capacity to eat what you have not eaten before. Hallelujah. Amen. Kill it and eat it. Peter says that, no way, no way, no way. I haven't handled this thing before. All that God was illustrating to Peter, the head of the early church here, like he did to the 12 leaders of Israel, that he gave the chance for them to see the promised land. This is God giving the chance to the leader of the early church to see into the promised land, heaven open, and then he sees the dimension of life that God has got for the church. And then Peter says, not so, Lord. It's just like the 10 of the 12 spies that God gave a glimpse of the promised land. And they said, the land is wonderful, the grapes are big, but we cannot handle it. Because they saw themselves as lacking the capacity to take on the giants. As lacking the capacity to take on the giant establishment, giant companies, people with the name, you know, it made them chicken out. And Peter was doing the same thing at this stage.
We'll be back briefly to continue with the word. Dominion Embassy is a non-denominational teaching ministry, and our mission is to enable people to rule in life through acknowledging the treasure of the Lord in them. Our purpose is to teach about the treasure of the Lord, namely Jesus and His kingdom system. Our vision is to fully acknowledge the person, principles, and performance of Jesus for mankind to teach the kingdom system of God. And our strategy is to bring the kingdom message and ways of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to practical living, teaching and preaching, literature, seminar, and audio visuals, all in the subliminal style of Jesus Christ. Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast.
Look at the book of Leviticus chapter 20 and then verse 25. Leviticus chapter 20 and then verse 25. I want us to understand leadership of the church when they hesitate about the dimension of life that God has got for them. Look at it. God Himself says to the people of Israel, you shall therefore distinguish between clean animals and unclean, between unclean birds and clean, and you shall not make yourselves abominable by beasts or by birds or by any kind of living thing that creeps on the ground, which I have separated from you as unclean. So God is saying some things here. He is saying to His priests, the Levites, the book of Leviticus is for the priests that we are. Hallelujah. Under Jesus, we are kings and then we are priests. This book is for us. It's telling us that we should make a distinction between clean birds and unclean birds, clean animals and unclean animals. And that when we touch an unclean animal, we eat an unclean bird or animal, we will make ourselves abominable to God. And Peter was living by this. So when he said to God, not so, nothing unclean has touched my lips. Do you know what he is trying to tell God? It's wonderful. The same God who said this in Leviticus 20:25 is now saying to you, bring the same animals, unclean, abominable. And he says that this time, I want you to kill and eat. And of course, understand Peter. Peter has not eaten these things before. He doesn't have the capacity for them. Hallelujah. He has to build capacity to eat a snake. No, take yourself. If you haven't eaten a snake before, and then somebody brings you snake, live one, kills it in your presence, and maybe skin it and fries it, and he says, Iragua, rise up, eat it. Or let's say he doesn't kill it, he brings a live python, and he says, Iragua, rise up, kill it and eat it. You said no. When mommy is giving me porridge, he doesn't add python to it. How can I eat python? I don't have the capacity to eat python. If it's in my mouth, I'll feel like throwing up. Even when I see it wriggling like that, I have some things, some goose pimples. So understand leadership. When God opens up heaven and says that, look, I want my will to be done on earth, in my church, as it is in heaven. And we see it and we say, oh God, not so, not so, not so. We haven't handled this level of finances before. We haven't handled this level of management before. We haven't handled this level of diversity before. Can you imagine that? But God brings all kinds. Not bringing some and leaving some. He says all kinds. It means that they are diverse. And it's supposed to be controlled by the church. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And the church says, not so, Lord. We haven't built capacity for all kinds of businesses. We know one thing, education. Building schools and all that, but the other dimensions, not so, Lord. They are unclean. Do you know God's response? He says that, what? Oh, hallelujah. He says that what I have cleansed, don't call it common and unclean. Common means that used by everybody. That's what it means in the Greek. That the thing is used by everybody. Unclean means that it is impure. Up till today, when God opens the kingdom system to us, ladies and gentlemen, some people respond like this, that Lord, I have not built the capacity to handle all kinds of people, all kinds of businesses, all kinds of things that impinges on the life of humanity. Not so, Lord. Like I illustrated, they have a frying pan mind. You know, the kind of mind that if there is something that is new, that is big, all kinds of big shit letting down, he says, no, 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 it can't be. My frying pan mind cannot fry this big tuna. So he let the tuna go. And God will bring the same thing, tuna. He will bring the same animal. He will bring the same thing from heaven. Says, I need you to build capacity to take on all kinds. Hallelujah. And then some people say that, not so, Lord, this area we haven't gone there. Even you said in Leviticus 20:25 that I should not eat this unclean thing. How come you are now telling me on the Christ that it is edible, it is eatable, and that his church must eat it also? Hallelujah. Is it possible that God is letting things down, you know, from heaven? He wants it to be established in our lives on earth, and then because we are used to one thing, we answer like Peter, not so, Lord, not so, Lord. I haven't touched it before. All that this story is illustrating to us is, ladies and gentlemen, not just in context, it is about the coming in of Gentiles into the church. Because up till this time, the gospel of Jesus was preached only to Jews. When they meet you, they ask you, where are you from? You are a Gentile, they don't preach to you. When they hear you are a Jew, then they preach to you. And Jesus didn't like it. He said, no, it is for everybody. But ladies and gentlemen, it is not just telling us about Gentiles coming in. It is telling us about all other things that are positive, made by God, created by God, inspired by God, not by the devil. Some work is inspired by the devil. Work that destroys human body, like alcohol and all that, it is created under the inspiration of the devil, not under the inspiration of God. Any technology that doesn't enhance God is under the inspiration of the devil. Hallelujah. But you see, in times past, we have classified some of the things as unclean, as common, as belonging to the world. Worldly people do that. It's the people of the world. It's common, used by everybody. It is impure. But under Jesus' kingdom system, there is nothing created by God. There is nothing inspired by God. There is nothing originated by God, which may have been corrupted, which is unclean in the kingdom system of Jesus. Because the blood of Jesus has cleansed every positive thing, so that it is no more worldly. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We may not have eaten python before. The church may not have gone into that sphere of life. Believers may not have entered into certain sectors of life, like the entertainment. They may not have entered into maybe certain areas, you know. But is it positive? Is it inspired by God? Look at the origin. Was it God who brought it about? Then, because of the death of Jesus on the cross, that thing is now clean.
Amen.
And in the kingdom system, God wants us to be able to manage all kinds. All kinds. That is why Jesus Christ said, go into all the world. Why did he say all the world? It would have sufficed for him to say, go into the world. But when he says go into all the world, he is talking about certain diversities in the world that his believers must get into. It is the same spirit with which Jesus Christ said, you know, that you shall receive power when the Holy Ghost comes, and you shall be witnesses unto me, in beginning from Jerusalem, Judea, to the uttermost parts of the earth. Why is it that Jesus said that in Acts chapter 1 verse 18? And then in Acts chapter 9, Peter says, or the church says, we will not preach to Gentiles. We will not enter into certain things which are not allowed for Jews to enter. Because traditionally in this world, certain things we say that Christians must not enter. You know, we say they are unclean. We have labeled it impure. Because it's true, we have seen examples of it. It's all impure. But I tell you, God wants us to build capacity now to be able to venture into other areas, sectors of life, all the world. The world there is talking about the cosmos. That is Mark chapter 16. Go ye into all the world and make disciples of all the nations. You know, that Greek word translated world there is cosmos. Cosmos is from the word. It's out of cosmos that we get the word cosmetic. It's talking about the arrangement. Go into all the arrangement, already arranged systems, and preach the gospel. Already arranged institutions. It's a picture of the promised land that was already built, already finished houses, already dug vineyards, and he says, I want you to go into this orderly arrangement, this beautiful thing, this cosmetic thing. Go everywhere and preach the gospel. Hallelujah. And I like the way he puts it, you know, because Jesus has the imagery that we are exploring today in mind. Because he said that go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I like the use of that word creature. Because then it is telling us that all kinds of beasts, all kinds of animals, they need to experience the kingdom system. So we should not say, not so, Lord. We haven't ventured here. All that is required of us, ladies and gentlemen, is to build capacity. The church must build capacity. The church must expand its mind to contain the new dimension of living, the kingdom life that Jesus Christ wants, that it doesn't just stay in heaven, but he has let it down and he says, I want it on earth as in heaven. We should not behave like Peter, that we do not have the capacity. We must expand our minds. We must expand our management mandate. Hallelujah. To be able to contain what God has got for us today. Because I tell you what, if we do not build capacity, God will not be frustrated. He will bring it again. Hallelujah. Remember Philippians 1:6. He who has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. We like Jesus, but we are not able to link Jesus and his cross to what God has got for humanity, actually for which Jesus Christ came on earth. I will show you. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 1 and then verse 9. Let's do some linkages. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and then verse 9. The Bible says over there, Apostle Paul is writing to his son, and then he says to him, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling. In other words, believers are saved, not so. And believers are called with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose. Ladies and gentlemen, where we are going is not according to our works. Jesus has already cleansed everything positive, inspired and created by God, so that we should not call it worldly. We should not call it impure. We should build capacity to be able to enter. It's unfortunate for believers who are the light of this world to say that the system of ruling people like politics is dirty. Dirty. Who made it dirty? Some dirty people made it dirty. Hallelujah. Amen. But we must build capacity to be able to enter over there. Hallelujah. If you do not build capacity, you go into it, you become muddy. You become dirty. But you see, you must build capacity. Hallelujah. Amen. To be able to enter into politics and leave an example for posterity to say that, oh, you can be a good believer, you can stand for God, and you can rule over God's people or over humans as well. We just have to build capacity. If we don't build capacity, God will not be frustrated. He will let it down to heaven. But until Jesus Christ comes, he is going to pursue his original purpose. He's going to let down the sheet again. You came from
heaven to earth. I hope you've been blessed by the word. In case you've not accepted Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, kindly say this after me. Dear God, I repent towards you and sin. Come into my heart. I make you Jesus my Lord and Savior. Thank you for forgiving all my sins already, saving me from hell and accepting me into your kingdom as your royal child. In Jesus' name, amen. For this and other kingdom messages and books from Dominion Embassy, call 020-8078-535. Visit our website at www.dominionembassygh.org or our offices at No. 1 Karat Avenue, Eric Warden Street, near Zoom Lion Offices, off Queen of Peace Academy, West Anaji Estate, Takoradi, Ghana. God richly bless you. Lord, I lift your name.